This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. And we have a fantastic show for you today. We want to give a shout-out to our co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, out in Santa Clarita, California, who is under the weather. But I know that she's listening to the show today. So, Bobby Jean, hurry up and get well. But let me let you know who we have joining us today. We're excited to have joining us the Sawdust Brothers. And we're going to be visiting with them for just a little while and listening to some of their great music. And then we'll be joined by Tracy Pinson and Peter Frazier. And we'll be talking about Extreme Cowboy Association racing. So a lot of great guests, a lot of exciting information, and some tremendous music today during the Campfire Cafe. We want to remind you that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian and western lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee, take a deep seat, and when we come back, we'll be talking with the Sawdust Brothers. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Dixie Flagler, we're rolling out for all points, headed south. And I'll ride that train till the day I chase her down. She's the finest thing I ever laid my eyes on. I never should have let her leave my side. And there ain't no way I'm ever gonna change my mind. Everything a loving man could lack. If there's one thing in this world I can't rely on, my Tennessee rose ain't coming back. I rode the line from Mobile up to Cairo, from Cincinnati down to New Orleans, and I searched the road, every wide place in between. Better men have rode this rail to ruin, and stronger men have struggled at the bit. But you'll never fail if you don't know when to quit. She's everything a boy could ever wish for, everything a man could ever lack. If there's one thing in this world I can rely on, my Tennessee Rose ain't coming back. Oh, come on, man.
Well, they told you about the wildwood flower, but she's prettier than anything in the hall. And I've been running for 40 hours and 30 days, 20 minutes to find her. But nothing around here looks the same. Seems like they changed every single name. That pretty gal I used to swing, got a brand new man and a wedding ring. She's the only thing I want to see. She don't even give a damn for me. She's everything a boy could ever dream of. Tennessee Rose ain't coming back. The train pulled out of Cottonwood this morning. Standing there on platform 9, and I know by now there's no one else to blame. The sun don't rise at the mention of her name. After all these years of song,
Tennessee Rose ain't coming back. My Tennessee Rose ain't coming back.
Tennessee Rose by the Sawdust Brothers, and I can't quite do an introduction like Bobby Jean does, but let me just read the first part of what she sent me, that she was ready to talk about these guys. And she said that once upon a time in Nashville, Tennessee, there were three young men who played in a band. They enjoyed themselves and accomplished many things before going their separate ways, each to seek his fortune in the wide world. They vowed that one day they would again combine their talents and share what they had learned. Now, via the electrical power of the information super lonesome highway, the Sawdust Brothers have been reunited. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Howdy, Gary.
Hey, Gary. Howdy. Well, the Sawdust Brothers are Johnny Dowers, David Lane, and Ryan Murphy, and we're tickled to death to have these guys joining us today and introduce our audience to some great music. But I want to talk just a little bit with each of you guys and tell everybody where you're from, and we'll talk a little bit about how you got together. But Johnny, let's start with you. Where are you from originally?
I am from parts unknown in Louisiana. I'm from a little town called DeQuincy, D-E, capital Q-U-I-N-C-Y, Louisiana. Grew up down there, but I live in Burbank, California now.
All right. And David, what about you?
Oh, I grew up in Nashville and wound a long and circuitous route up to Portland, Oregon recently.
All right. So I read something in your bio about you were a recovering Tennessean up there in Portland.
Exactly right. I've traded my jeans and Western shirts in for flannel, and I wear a lot of flannel these days. I wear more plaid than a Scottish trader up here, I'm telling you.
Gosh. And our good friend Ryan Murphy. Ryan, tell us a little bit about where you're from.
Well, I'm from Austin, Texas originally, and I'm kind of like David, a recovering Nashvillian, even though I still live in Nashville. I sure miss Texas every day, I tell you. But Nashville's nice, too.
Nashville's a pretty good place. Hey, let's talk about how you guys all got together. And I heard a little different versions from folks, but were the first two to meet Johnny and David?
No, it was my
Ryan,
recollection is Johnny and Ryan, and we met at a nefarious location, a pool hall, as I recall. A great little club here in Nashville called the Sutler.
Yeah,
that's how I remember it, Johnny. How do you remember it?
Oh, we don't want to hear how I remember it.
Do you remember it is the question.
That was the question I was going to ask. Does he remember?
It was.
No,
so you should remember.
Go ahead, Ryan. That's pretty much right.
Right. Yeah, and then I invited Johnny over to my place where I was living over there in Belmont area, and he started singing some James Taylor, and I love James Taylor, and I probably started singing some Bill Monroe or something, or Michael Martin Murphy or John Denver, and I'm not sure if Johnny knew my background in music, but we were friends right away, of course, he was a fan of my dad's, but we used to just sing all our favorite kind of 70s and 80s country songs together. We were inseparable that first year, just
all
hanging
right.
out
yep.
practically every day.
Wow. Yep. What about David? When did you get in the picture?
Well, I was going to film school right about that time, I was in a short film with Ryan's wife, Francie, and that's how I met Ryan. And unfortunately, I had gone to film school to try to find something I liked to do other than music. And then I met Ryan, and I completely forgot about film school, and we went right back into music.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, and we're glad that you have, but I know that, you know, so you're still involved in some film, and Johnny, you've got quite a background in film and TV series. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, David went one route, I went the other. It's been interesting. You know, I've been very fortunate. When we were in Nashville, we were hunkered down writing songs, Ryan popping the whip every day trying to get me to practice and be a better musician. And I was always distracted with trying to come up with some character or some way to get on the small screen or the big screen. As much as I love to sing and write, I started writing screenplays, and I guess the quickest version is I wrote a movie and got out here and started doing some stand-up comedy. I got cast locally in Nashville. Actually, Ryan and I don't know if David was playing with us or not. I think Ryan and I played lunch for a movie called The Last Castle, which was my first movie. It came through there, and I think I did everything on that movie except clean the toilets. I stood in for Robert Redford, and I wound up being a principal actor, and we played music on set at lunch, and the director liked me, asked me if I wanted to audition. I said, there's a bear crap in the woods. And then from there, I eventually came to California and wrote a screenplay called Pickin' and Grinnin' with my comedy partner, Garrett Matheny. We had a comedy band out here called the Johnsons that I tricked David into being a part of. And he said up and down he wasn't an actor, and he played one of the lead roles in an hour and a half comedy where he doesn't speak one line, and he's a favorite character. Everybody watches it. So he's a fabulous actor. And then we, of course, got Ryan, used a bunch of his music, and got him out here to do the music for the film with us. John Grise directed it, and John's a big music fan and a great musician himself. A lot of people know John as Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. And from Lost, and John loved us and said, you guys should do a record together. Of course, we laughed at that because we've been trying to do it for, 15, 20 years. And so we did the music for the soundtrack together, and we basically, John said, you should call yourselves the Highly Unlikely. And I said, well, that makes sense because it's highly unlikely to get on the radio. But here we are, Gary. I did that film, which was very fortunate that our director invited an executive producer at the time from Cold Case and Hawaii Five-O, was putting together a show for FX called The Bridge, and he loved the movie, and I met him and auditioned, and I did two seasons of the FX acclaimed drama The Bridge, and I've done some anger management, some other TV and films, and been really fortunate to finally write. I'm writing for TV and film now, and acting, and trying to do everything, which people keep telling me I can't.
Well, I know a lot of our audience probably were fans of The Bridge, and you played, was that Deputy Cooper in that?
Yeah, it might as well. It's Detective. But
Detective Cooper, okay.
Yeah, but it's not a bad demotion. Yeah, and I played Detective Tim Cooper, and we had some fine Texas folks on that show, as the audience probably knows, so I was very thankful to be on there.
Yeah, well, that's exciting stuff. And I was curious as to how the name the Sawdust Brothers came about, David.
Well, as I remember it, we had not really gotten around to the name officially yet. And as I remember it, Ryan kept signing off his emails as something like Jedi Master of Sawdust or something like that.
Yeah.
It was always
from
a variation
the chips
on
from
the
woodshed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so finally the Sawdust Brothers came out of all that.
Yeah, at one point I think he wrote Brothers in Sawdust or something, because it was always about
Brothers of the
Sawdust
Saw.
On
yeah,
the floor. Yeah, Brothers
it was
of the
something.
Saw, yeah.
There was something about like being in the cyber woodshed that was on my mind because David and I were emailing tracks back and forth trying to write these songs, and I'm trying to exist in this 21st century world, where people used to use landlines or write hand letters, and it was kind of confusing me, but I was liking it because I could hang with my buddies who left me down here, in Nashville, and, mm-hmm. and we were still having this great musical relationship through the internet. So you may have heard of the Dust Brothers, so I was just making a play on words there, because we're the Sawdust Brothers.
Well,
and they're like a cyber band.
Yeah. Well, it's a great group that you've put together, and we want to play as much music as we can today. There's a song that we want to go to right now called "I Will Find You," and it's quite different. quite different from the Tennessee Rose that we opened up the show with. So how did this song come about?
Well, Johnny was visiting me one time, coming down to Nashville, I think, to take a break from L.A., and I was thinking about my granddad, who had just passed away that week. This was around 2005. And Johnny didn't know I was thinking about that, but I just kind of started picking this tune and thinking about him, and because I had a vision of him coming back to talk to me the day after he passed away. So I just kind of felt like he would always be there and that I would always find him in my memories. And Johnny just really jumped in and just really kind of felt the same feeling, even though he didn't know that's what I was thinking about. He really caught on to the melody.
It's amazing because I was writing about my daughter at the time. We both had daughters around the same age, you know, and we talked a lot about our daughters. And in a recent show, Ryan told me that his granddad. I never knew that, and it was amazing because I thought we were just writing about our girls, you know, about no matter what happens, we'll find
her. Right. Well, let's take a listen to this. I Will Find You by the Sawdust Brothers, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
In the darkness or burning sun, it don't matter what you've done, 'cause I will find you. Are you desperate, feeling unknown, crying? I will find you.
And, you know, guys, one of the interesting things to me, and I'm an old guy. I mean, when I started in radio, I was about 16 years old. And, you know, everything was on vinyl. We did have a little tape that we used, but we had Johnny Western on the show on Sunday. And are you guys familiar with Johnny Western?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Johnny is quite the legend, and he was talking about when he was with Gene Autry and performed with him, yeah. And then the Sons of the Pioneers, you know, they'd go into the studio, everybody was together, and they'd do it in one take. And then later on, he was on the road with Johnny Cash for about 40 years, and by that time, things had changed a little bit. And but let's talk about how you put this together, because this just still kind of boggles my mind, being an old fellow.
It boggles our minds too, Gary.
It's kind of funny because, I mean, thinking about what Ryan was talking about with the cyber sawdust and cyber woodshed, you know, we're the same way, Gary. When I started out, we used to learn a song by, you'd call your buddy and one of you had the 45, and you'd hold the receiver of the telephone up to the record player.
There you go.
And learn the song that way. And what we've been doing, you know, since we were never quite all in the same place at the same time through any of this, we've just been, you know, sending a little demo back and forth, and somebody will listen to it and then stick it in their garage band and record a little something alongside on the iPad and say, hey, I made up this lead part, and send it back to you. And,
wow.
You know, it makes the circles and everybody adds a little something. And then I've got a little, you know, kind of pawn shop studio here at the house that I've just been putting them one by another, and all of a sudden it's starting to make something, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of fun. It's a little like Christmas when you get that email and, hey, somebody sent me a banjo track.
I got to tell you something about David Gary, because he's a really humble guy. But he played all the drums, all the bass, about 85% of the electric guitar on this record. He's a band in a box. I mean, this guy's incredible.
Wow.
And
well, you guys,
of course,
are
wrote
all
songs and sang.
Yeah,
and,
you guys are all incredible musicians.
It's amazing what he does.
Yeah, you're incredible musicians. You know, I could tell a little bit of the Nashville influence on this next song. And we're going to do, is just a fun song. This is one called
That's
How to
fault.
Leave. Is that your fault?
No, that's not my fault. It's wrong song. You know, I've been living there for 9 years. So I'm recovering, too. I just want to say my name's John Dowers, and I live in Nashville.
Gosh. Well, how did this song come to be, How to Leave?
Oh, this is one that you hit the nail on the head there. I just love all of those, you know, 60s and 70s country tunes that are kind of half between honky tonk and you know, western swing. And there's a little. It's if we could find a geographic location directly between Bakersfield and Nashville, that's kind of where I wanted this one to fit. So.
Yeah, Gary, I love Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Dwight Yoakam fan, and especially of his guitar player, Pete Anderson. And so when David sent me this song, I was like, oh, man, I finally get a chance to play like Pete. So my only contribution to this song was the electric guitar solo. But I absolutely love the song. I think David wrote it brilliantly.
All right, well, let's take a listen to this, and we're going to come back and talk with the Sawdust Brothers and even Johnny Dowers, who is influenced by Nashville as well. So.
Yes. Yeah.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with the Sawdust Brothers.
You're famous in my life. Everybody knows your name. Though you've been gone around for such a long time. They know you're the one to blame for the bottle in my hand, the broken heart upon my sleeve. But I can thank you for one thing, honey, I learned how to drink the night that you learned how to leave. We was busted from the start. No, there was nothing we could do, or I would never pledge my heart. And it never could be true, but it's a funny thing how time will rearrange what you believe. I think I either lost my mind, or I finally learned to love the night that you learned how to leave.
CD that the Sawdust Brothers have out together. Is this correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Okay. And how are you selecting the songs for that, and when is this going to be available?
Very carefully and very soon.
Well, if you need any help picking out songs, give me a holler. I've had
oh, yeah, you're helping us right now, Gary, already.
Yeah. Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. Great stuff.
Now, I've been to Keith Compton there in Nashville is a fantastic engineer, and he's got all the pieces and parts there and is mixing them together for us right now. So.
All right.
I think we got a Maplewood High School announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that.
Now it's been outed.
Yeah, that's
there
right.
You go.
Well,
the
folks
the
that are not
didn't know
aware,
I was on a radio show, so
yeah, we'll have to keep him. Yeah, we for folks that are not aware, Ryan teaches at Maplewood High School in Nashville, and so
now
he's
they
in
are.
The class. Yeah, yeah. So he
teacher
is in
of the
class.
Year.
Teacher of the year.
Teacher
that's
of
right.
the decade.
Teacher
in my
of the
opinion,
decade.
Gary, you just got
decade.
Caught in a tardy sweep.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess. Well, I tell you, we've had guests on that have been in an airport, and so you get their gate call, you know, while we're in the middle of a show, so that's okay.
Yeah. I know we got a lot of music to get through when we're talking about the record, but I got to tell you right now, Dave and I had the sheer blessing of going down to Maplewood High School and being in Ryan's classroom, and I worked with we worked with the kids on, Ryan's doing Shakespeare monologues with inner city kids. I mean, we worked on acting with them. We met them. We played music for them in the library. That was our first unofficial show. And I couldn't be more proud of the man that my best friend's become and the job he's doing
Amen.
At that school. And, man, just a joy to go down there and see that school and meet those kids. And for that to be our first thing was really special. So.
Well, that's pretty neat. That is pretty neat. Well, you know, we appreciate Ryan very much and the work that he does with the school system. And all of you guys are so talented. We do want to get another couple of songs in, and we've got
yeah.
Now you're gonna have to behave now because our second segment guests are on the line, and so you know we want to.
My daddy told me never piss off an extreme cowboy. That was lesson number one, especially an extreme horseman.
Gosh, well, and let's just mention that because you guys are going to be performing at Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Riding Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But the dates on that are June the 4th through the 7th. And we've got the Extreme Cowboy National Championship that's going to be taking place, and we'll talk about that in the second segment. And then we've got a cowboy up ball on Thursday night. You guys are going to be in concert on Friday night with Templeton Thompson and Stephanie Lane, and that is going to be a ball. And then on Saturday night, Michael Martin Murphy, Ryan's dad, will be performing. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. But we want folks to check out our website at equestrianlegacy.net for all the details. And you can pre-order tickets for the concerts for Friday and Saturday night if you are not camping with us or if you're not one of the extreme cowboy racers. So grab those advance tickets, and you are going to have a ball, as you can tell. Meeting these guys because they're going to be there all week and then visiting with folks and then performing on Friday night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But there's another song I want to do real quick. This is a beautiful song. It's really got the Western flavor to this one, and this is Amelia Farewell. And how did this come to be written?
Well, Gary, oh, there's the bell. All right, so everyone's in class now, so we can talk about the music.
All right.
Well, this is a song that I wrote out in Red River with my dad, and I was actually inspired by Johnny's show, which is about border relations between people coming across the border and running drugs and the police officers there in El Paso in that area. And I just really loved the first couple of episodes, and so I wanted to write a tune that was kind of like an old West yet modern West, kind of a border war song, but focusing on the relationship of what happens when an outlaw leaves home to go do his job. You know, so that's kind of where it started. But I was also thinking about one of my students who is an outlaw, sadly himself, here at Maplewood. He was a student that ended up, well, he's serving a 15-year sentence right now.
Oh, wow.
Because he decided to be an outlaw himself. And it was a very sad situation. Just a student I really loved, but he kind of went down the wrong road. So I wanted to write a song that was kind of a warning of what happens when you go down the wrong road.
Well, let's take a listen to this
one. All that was in there.
Okay, let's take a listen to this one. I think people can tell from the variety of the music that you guys are going to put on a great show, and you're writing a variety of things that everybody's going to love. But this is Amelia Farewell. We're talking to the Sawdust Brothers on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
In the early light of day, well, sometimes I can still hear her say, please don't ride with the boys today. But an outlaw never listens anyway. It was a cold cowboy goodbye. Didn't have an alibi. She said the price on your head is high. Wanted men don't come back alive. Blue sky, sage and snow. The pinion burning low. More Amelia, farewell, farewell. We had the drop on the fence. They were all left for dead. How could I know it was my head? My brothers would feel led. They saw the fear in my eyes as they laughed and let those bullets fly. I fell face down in the night. They took the gold and left me there to die. Blue sky, sage and snow, the pinyon burning low, morning mission bell, Amelia, farewell, farewell. Amelia, farewell, farewell.
Amelia, farewell by the Sawdust Brothers. And guys, your music is just fantastic. I mean, one of the challenges that I had was going through everything and trying to decide what to use today. And
thank you, Gary.
You're welcome. I think we've shown the variety and such a talented bunch of guys. And Ryan, when I had your dad on one time, we were talking about Facebook, and he said, go like my page. I like to be liked. So you guys have a Facebook page.
We do,
yes. Yeah, so they can find the Sawdust Brothers on Facebook, and then your website, is it The Sawdust Brothers or SawdustBrothers.com?
Either one will go to the same place. So
okay.
It's usually just Sawdust Brothers, but if you type in the V, we'll accept that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
We're on the Twitter, and we're not on Instagram yet, but we're going to be, but we're on the Twitter. And
Twitter.
Shout out to
is that like
Keith
Conway
Compton.
Twitty?
Yes, it is. It's like the Twitty, the Twitter. I'm also starting a new social media platform, Gary. You guys can get in on the ground level. It's called Neckbook. It's Facebook for rednecks, and you can poke me on that. So, revolutionize the social media industry. If I want to say Keith Compton, David mentioned Keith Compton. You asked about the record. Keith Compton, a genius in Nashville there, a longtime friend of Ryan, who's really, really blessed us by helping us with this record and putting it together. And we don't know exactly when, but it's coming out very soon. And, you know, we'll see how. There have been some good folks that have shown some interest in putting it out there, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to people being able to buy that, and they can go to your website, can't they, and download a few things now.
Yes.
There are a few songs on there right now. We're probably going to put up one more to tide you over before Keith finishes up that last mix. So go on over there and help yourself.
All right. It is great music. Talented guys. You can tell they're not any fun to talk with at all. So, hey, listen, if you have not made your reservations to be at the Circle E Guest Ranch to join us,
then you're stupid.
Well, that's
you're stupid. Oh no, we're not supposed to tell the listeners that.
We should tell them. But it is going to be an absolutely great time, and this is to raise money for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, and the foundation helps kids that are suffering with brittle bone disease. It's just been a blessing to see the children that have been helped this past year, And we've also, the foundation is now partnered with Centers for Courageous Kids in Scottsville, Kentucky, that serves over 4,000 children each year. And there's a program called Fiona's Fuel for Families to provide gas cards to get families to that center. The center is free, but it does cost them to get there. So through the money that was raised last year, we've been able to help several kids with surgeries and things that they needed, and also to participate in the Centers for Courageous Kids. So visit the website, equestrianlegacy.net, make your reservations, and if you can't make it for the whole event, you can buy tickets in advance for the Friday night concert with the Sawdust Brothers, Templeton Thompson and Stephanie Lane, and then for Michael Martin Murphy's concert on Saturday night. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. It is going to be a hoot. And, again, it's not often that people get to visit with celebrities all throughout the week. And you guys are going to be there for the whole thing. So we appreciate you being there. And look forward to spending time with you guys. Not too far off.
Man. That's right. Yeah, we're excited to be there. Ryan's mom, Ryan, you might talk about that. They've been... Gary, all your hard work putting this together. We're so excited to be there.
Yeah, we're grateful to you, Gary.
Well, appreciate it. And, again, it's a blessing to be able to help these kids, and it's going to be just a whole lot of fun. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to join us today and sharing your music and your unique personalities, if I can say.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll give you an A+, Gary.
Gary, thank you, man.
Well, thank you.
If it weren't
guys.
For you, we wouldn't get to talk to each other if it weren't for you. So. I love you, boys.
All right, guys. Well, listen, we're going to say goodbye now. We're going to come back and talk with Peter Frazier and Tracy Penson. We're going to cowboy up a little bit with them and talk about extreme cowboy racing. And, guys, we're going to close this segment out with a great song that you did called Anywhere. Is there anything you want to tell us about this song?
Oh, man,
Anywhere is a trail ride. Go ride.
Anywhere is fine, especially the Fiona Rose Murphy Trail Ride 2015.
Mm-hmm. That is right.
That's the place to be. All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk with you soon. And thank you. We'll be back to talk with Peter and Tracy, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Left a hole, she ain't coming back. Get on down the road, get on down the line. I don't care where we go, anywhere is fine. Get on down the road, get on down the
track. True love left the hole. She ain't coming back. Get on down the road. Get on down the line. Don't care where we go. Anywhere is fine. I don't care where we go.
Peter Frazier and Tracy Pinson. How are you guys doing?
Real good.
Great.
Good to have you. And Tracy, do you think those guys are going to be any fun at the national championship in the trail rod?
I think so, as long as they don't piss off any extreme cow girls.
Gosh, we'll have to warn them. We'll have to warn them. So anyway, we're excited to have you guys on the show today, and a lot that we want to talk about. Peter, you're up in Canada, and Tracy's down in Florida, and we're all going to be together the first weekend in June here in Tennessee for the Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship. And Peter, let me start with you, if I can. And you are involved with the Calgary Stampede, aren't you?
I am. And one of the unique things we do at the Stampede is, interesting you keep talking about Cowboy Up. We have what we call the Cowboy Up Challenge for extreme racers up there. And it's the elite top 10 in the world we invite, give them $25,000 and put them in a 20,000-seat arena. We do that every time except when we invite Tracy. She came up a couple of years ago, and it was the biggest flood in the history of Alberta, and our big 20,000-seat arena had 23 feet of water in it. So we built a little memorial tent for Tracy to show off, but we could only show her off to about 1,000 people. But, it's fun, and you know, extreme cowboy and horses and country music and all that, it really puts bums in the seat, you know, at Stampede and all over the world. So, and, you know, having the national championship hooking up with your just amazing event, I really do think it's a match made in heaven.
Well, and Peter so graciously gives us the winner of the pro division each year gets an automatic invite to that Cowboy Up at the Calgary Stampede. So we can't say thank you enough to him for that. That adds an extra little notch of prestige to our event.
Well, that's pretty cool. And Tracy, let's talk just a little bit about what extreme cowboy racing is, because some of our audience may not be familiar with it. I know a lot of folks are, and being a legend that Peter called you the other day, we have a worldwide audience. I think one of the times you were on, I started getting emails from South Africa and all over the place where they were listening to you on the show. But let's talk just a little bit about what the Extreme Cowboy Association is and the racing and what people can see.
Well, I heard Craig describe it best one time. He said it was kamikaze speed with surgical precision on horseback. They're Western events that you would see out on a ranch. There's some roping, and we work some cows. Every once in a while we shoot. We jump in water, out of water, over jumps. If you go up to the Calgary Stampede, you never know what you're going to have to climb up and over and across and through. And we throw things, drag things, you name it. If they can think it up, we'll try to do it on a horse. And it's a timed event. However, it's judged by some great folks like Peter and Diane McMurtry, who's going to judge our national event in June. They look at everything from how we approach the obstacles to how we perform the obstacles, how we depart from there, if we're taking the correct leads, how our horse is responding to us. and then we get an overall score for horsemanship, and then our time is factored into all that. So there's a lot of moving parts in it, but it is the most fun that I've had on horseback. I got involved in it in 2009, and I haven't looked back. So.
Well, you have had an outstanding run with Extreme Cowboy Association. You started out competing with Tuff at Skyjackers Mountain High, and now Buford's put to work, isn't he?
Buford, yeah, I won two world championships with Tuff, and then I won two back-to-back with Buford, and now I've retired from non-pro for the year, so I'm working on another young horse to go into the futurity this year, and hopefully he'll be my next non-pro world champion.
Oh, that's great. Now, is this one of Tuff's offsprings?
Yes, it is. Yeah, actually, it's by Tuff and out of Buford's mother. So we're keeping it in the family.
There you go. Peter, how did you get involved with the Extreme Cowboy Racing and start judging?
Well, I mean, I've judged all my life, which is a long time. But you know, we were actually looking for a new event to bring the Stampede that literally was different and really would put bums in the seats. And we saw Craig's show first in Colorado, and then we followed him to Ohio, and then we followed him to California, and thought, this will work. And so Stampede spent some money and said, let's make it the biggest and the best, and I've judged all the Stampede events, but I guess I'm in charge of it, so I get to choose who judges that one. But we're actually thrilled. We talked about bringing Diane up, and Diane is an amazing judge, and we're looking forward to bringing her to Calgary too. But I get involved now. I'm warning you. I'm pretty excited about Circle E and meeting all these guys and that. So I'm going to make sure that you're the backup judge, Gary, in case I'm busy.
Yeah, that's what you need to do is have a judge that knows nothing. But sorry,
well,
that's right.
But then there'd be two of us, right?
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
tell you a story. Tracy tells you how exciting it is and at best. And I always tell a story about I was judging events, and I announce in a lot of events that I judge at and that. But this elderly couple came and they were competing, and they obviously didn't know very much about the event. They just heard about it and showed up with their, in this time, Morgan horses. And you know, the guy had a terrible time all day, and the lady had a terrible time, but she got more and more and more excited in it. I got a note back from the guy right after the show, and he said, you know, I showed up with my wife of 35 years and everything was boring going down, he says, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what you did to her, but I drove home with a 20-year-old wife that was excited and hot.
Oh, gosh. Well, that would be
people
an encouragement.
People make extreme racing. It is going to be a fab. And mixing horses and that, it's great. And as for judging, you know what? We'll make sure that there's all those people that are in the stands. We'll let them judge too. And, of course, as usual, they'll probably favor Tracy, right? And then the judges have to be the super second thought. But I've quit judging everything almost but extreme, just because extreme is just too much fun. And I guess that's why they're making me to pay to go down there instead of paying me.
Gosh. Well, we'll have to talk about that a little bit, but we want to take a quick break. And when we come back, Tracy, I want to talk a little bit about the Southern Obstacle Challenge Association and their role in this, and a little bit about what folks are actually going to see and how the events are divided up and that type of thing. But we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more with Peter and Tracy. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was the new kid on the circuit, gold buckles in his eyes, but the horse he drew was playing
cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough get going when the going gets tough. But around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy up. By the end of last season, said he was among the best, so he proudly called the girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy he used to call his friend, and before the first tear could fall, these words came back again. You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle.
Tracy, last year Joni participated in our event out in Washington State, and we already are making plans for 2016. You ought to see some of the artists that are coming in for this event next year, but we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about what's coming up in June, and talk to us a little bit about the Southern Obstacle Challenge Association and how that relates to the Extreme Cowboy Association.
Okay, well, I'm going to call it SOCA because I can't say the whole thing over and over again, but we refer to it as SOCA. Basically, we're an organization that was started by Diane McMurtry, Lisa Steinbach, and myself for two reasons. We put on obstacle challenges down here in Florida, and then we do extreme cowboy racing because there was kind of a void in the southeast area where we didn't have anybody to host races. So we thought, well, if we can't get anybody to put them on, we'll just form a club and do it ourselves. So we do that. We have five races a year. We do a couple up in South Carolina, one in Mississippi, the one in Tennessee, and then one down here in Florida. And we've also started a couple local races down here to try to get some more interest in Florida for those people that don't want to travel all over the country like we do. We're putting the nationals, we started 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago now. We worked with Craig and Daylene to put together the nationals that they had tried the year before to have it in Texas, and it was a lot of work on top of the world finals that we have in the fall. So we went to them and talked to them a little bit. They asked us if we wanted to host the nationals, and so this is our third year doing so, and each year it grows by leaps and bounds. We've already got 100 pre-entries for the race, and we still have, you know, 5 or 6 weeks more before we start racing. So we're pretty excited about joining with you guys and all the other festivities that are going to take place. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Well, we're excited that you guys agreed to come and join us. And as Peter said, I think it's a perfect match. And I told Diane the other day, I want your Extreme Cowboy folks to have more fun here than they do at the World Show. So we're gonna work on that. And but let's talk just a little bit about the different divisions. And you guys will be competing 2 days. So let's talk just a little bit about what people are going to see and how those divisions work and the competition itself.
All right. Well, we've got 8 divisions in total. Each division will have one run on Friday and one run on Saturday, and then the combined scores from those two runs will determine who the winner is of each division. There's, of course, the pro division, which is the professionals. These are the big guns. And then we've got the non-pro division, which can be just as tough as the pro division. It's just that those folks don't make their living riding horses. We have everything else from our young guns, which are 11 and under, to our youth riders. We have the novice who are new to Extreme Cowboy Racing. We have our intermediate division, which are those folks that have stepped out of the novice division but aren't quite ready to compete in non-pro. And then we have the Ride Smart division, which they're 55 and over, but don't let that fool you. That division can be just as tough as those non-pros. And then we have our Green Horse division, which are the youngsters that are just starting out in Extreme Cowboy Racing, and most of them are trying to groom them to go into the Futurity, which is at the World Finals in the fall.
Well, it sounds like there's something for everybody, even for us old guys, to get involved in. And I think Diane told me the other day that you have a 77-year-old gentleman that's competing.
We do. Joe Holloway from up there in Georgia, he's been riding for about 5 years now. He started in his 70s, and he's just a fun guy to watch. He competes in the Ride Smart division as well as intermediate, and he has a blast.
Well, now, what type of obstacles, and I know Diane is pretty excited. She's already stated that she's going to have the best obstacles that anybody's ever seen for this. And I know we've got a wishing well that's being put together for the deal that she contacted me about. But what else will we be seeing?
Huh, you just gave away one of her obstacles. She doesn't tell me anything. Peter probably knows more, or you know more than I do. She won't share with me what she's... The only thing that I know is what everybody else knows. She tells us to bring a rope, to bring a rain slicker. So, typically, a race will have some sort of a water obstacle, which I know in years past at Circle E, they've been gracious enough to go out there with a backhoe and dig a semi-natural water obstacle. And there's usually a different assortment of bridges. I don't think any race is complete without a cowboy curtain to either blaze through or have a little trick of either a water box or a bridge or something underneath it to put a new spin on it. I'm sure there'll be some roping. She'll probably throw in some ground ties. I don't know if we'll have any cattle at this event. It depends if she can talk somebody into bringing some cows there. So.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an awfully, awfully lot of fun, and we've posted some video on our website of actually of you competing in a couple of different events, and people can go and visit and get a little flavor of what they can see. And there's a lot of music that goes on, and so it's just an exciting thing to watch. And I know that I talked to Daylene the other day. She and Craig are looking forward to joining us next year, if you guys decide to come back. I hope you do. But it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And we've got a that song Cowboy Up, it kind of tied in with what happens at the Calgary Stampede, Peter. But we have a Cowboy Up ball on Thursday night that is just a private event for the Extreme Cowboy Association folks that are going to be racing there and our campers. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And, Peter, we may get you to judge when we name the king and queen of the cowboys. So you'll have to be careful. You don't want to piss any cowgirls off.
I heard he was running for the king of the cowboy ball.
Gary, you'll understand this when I say I have a face for radio and a voice for newspaper. And so I won't be running for any cowboy king. But and Diane and I have, you know, we have rules about fraternizing with the contestants, but somebody of your importance can probably waive that rule for us,
okay,
so that we can go to that and that. So that's your task. By the way, Diane didn't tell me anything about the obstacles, but she wanted to know if I could bring my merry-go-round and my elephant.
I heard about the merry-go-round. First, I'd heard about the elephant, so that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, we're inviting the public to come out and watch the Extreme Cowboy Racing. We don't want anybody to get hungry, Tracy, so we've got Wind River Outfitters from Indiana that are going to be down there, and they'll have a chuck wagon set up so everybody won't have to go to the restaurant and miss any of the action. Those guys are going to be set up right there so everybody can get some food and just keep cheering for their favorite competitor. And how do people, if they haven't gotten involved with the Extreme Cowboy Racing, how do they do that?
They can either go to the Extreme Cowboy Association website, which is www.extremecowboyassociation.com. If you're in the Southeast and want to look into our club, it's www.southernobstaclechallenges.com. And it's the Extreme Cowboy Association website's very, very easy to follow. It's got the rule book on there. It describes the events. It has a page where it lists all the obstacles that you could possibly run into. Of course, it's not complete because some of these event hosts, like Peter, put some spins on certain things. So it might say rope gate, but you never know what's going to be hanging off, on, around, or what you're going to have to do with that gate. So, but all the information's there, and you can also get in touch with any of us. There's a national advisory board on there. There's contact information, and I always welcome people to get in touch with us. We can talk to you a little bit, invite you out to an event. I promise if you do it once, you'll be hooked.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this, and I hope that we have a lot of our audience that will travel in. Where are your competitors coming from this year?
Oh, gosh, we've got some. We have some that may be coming from Canada. I think Peter maybe invited them down for us. But they come from all the way out in Kansas and Missouri, Texas. We've had them all the way from Pennsylvania and New York, several from Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, all over the Southeast. We had a gentleman from California. He just said that it was just too far for him, but we're going to keep working on him.
All right. Well, this is a national championship, and so people are going to come from all across the country. We're going to have some great shopping. We've got vendors that are coming from as far away as Minnesota and Oklahoma and Pennsylvania, and of course local vendors as well, Missouri and other places. So it's going to be just a whole lot of fun, and so a lot of exciting competition going on with the Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship. Great music, great food, and great shopping, and that all takes place June 4th through the 7th at the Circle E Guest Ranch, and that's just about halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga. Very easy to get to, a beautiful facility. And I guess we need to remind folks that there are 120 miles of trails to ride on, too. So if they're not competing, get there a little bit early, and they can get out and enjoy riding some of those trails, too. Peter, any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
No, once, as Tracy said, once you see it, you're hooked. And you, the thing is, like judges, you don't have to know anything to watch it. And it is, you'll immediately understand what it is. And like I say, horses and country music and great special events type thing. The fundraiser for Fiona's program. It's can't miss. And if anybody runs into me, I'll brag about the Calgary Stampede July 3rd to 12th every year.
Well, and I wanted to
thank you so much for including me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking time to join us. And we really need to get you back on before the Stampede, maybe after this event perhaps, and talk about who it is that's received the invitation to come and compete for next year and talk a little bit more about the Calgary Stampede.
That'll be great, and we'll talk about how Tracy fell in the water hole off her horse.
Yeah, the only thing I want to make sure that I see is Tracy losing her hat both days, and so that'll be cool.
Because she's donating $50 every time she loses her hat on the course.
Craig Cameron gave me a secret, and I'll probably jinx myself, but he gave me a secret 3 or 4 years ago on how to keep my hat on, and I haven't lost it since.
Gum out of your hair, though.
It takes a week or two, but it stays.
I think Diana said that there's a penalty for losing your hat, and all of that money is going to go to the foundation. So I'm going to encourage you to forget every tip that Craig gave you and lose that hat. So hey, what about closing thoughts for you, Tracy, as far as I think you said something about the last to enter is first to run. So
Determine the order of go. The last person to enter will be the first to run, and as a competitor, you like to usually go towards the end of the run so that you can see what everybody else did and maybe pick up some little hints and tips and things like that, or maybe some things not to do. But they're going to be competing. We've got buckles for the champions and the reserve champions in every division. We've got about $5,000 in prize money that'll be paid out. We've got some great donations and prizes that some great businesses have given us, some door prizes and things like that. I can't wait to do some trail riding beforehand and just join in the fun with all of our friends. When we get together, it's like a great big homecoming. So.
Well, I promise folks they're going to have a great time, so if there are any of the Extreme Cowboy folks out there that haven't made their reservations and their entries, I would sure encourage you to go ahead and do that, because I promise you're going to have a great time this year at the National Championship. And look forward to seeing both of you guys there. And, you know, Michael Martin Murphy's going to be there for the whole deal, so you may be able to get him to compete.
That would be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us and sharing this information. I look forward to seeing you both the first week of June, and we're going to close. Oh, Tracy, is there a website that they need to go to register, if they need to register for them?
Yeah, the entry forms are on the southernobstaclechallenges.com. And they can also find them on the Extreme Cowboy website at extremecowboyassociation.com. Either place has it, and just you can mail it, fax it, email it, whatever works for you. But we hope everybody turns out and has a great time, and we sure appreciate you having us on the show, Gary.
Well, we love having you guys on, and as I said before, look forward to seeing you. And we're going to close out this segment with a great song from Michael Martin Murphy called Running Blood. And Tracy and Peter, thank you again, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I can run so fast I don't even think about being last. When I make my move I don't feel no pain. I got running blood, so cut loose my reins. Don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. Through my mane, I can't be held back, boys, I can't be tame. I'm a wild horse running across the plains. I got running blood, so cut loose my rein. And don't hold on, don't hold back. you're gonna run on the winning track. Trying hard is not enough. You got to have a running blood. I'm gonna have a winning season. You're gonna really see me shine. God gave me strong legs for a reason. To be the first to cross the line. Ah. Crack, feel the muscles rippling across your back. When you make your move, give it all your strength. When that running blood beats them by a length, don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood, so don't hold on. Don't hold back. If you're gonna run on a winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. You've got to have the running blood. Ah!
Gosh, this has been a fun show today, talking with the Sawdust Brothers, David Lane, Johnny Dowers, and Ryan Murphy, and of course our guest with the Extreme Cowboy Association, Peter Frazier and Tracy Pinson. And if you haven't made your reservations already, please do that. It's going to be a great time, and again, it is to raise money to help children with osteogenesis imperfecta, brittle bone disease, and every penny goes to help these kids. So you can visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net and find out about all of the great activities that are going to be taking place at the Circle E Guest Ranch. You can make reservations from there. You can also purchase your tickets for the Friday and Saturday night concerts if you are not participating in the rest of the event. So we want folks to turn out, have a great time, and join us to help these kids. This coming Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, Teresa Burleson is her guest, and that show is at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then Tuesday on Saddle Up America, we'll be visiting with Andy Breland of Trailhead Supply. He is part of a great series that's going to be taking place on the National Geographic Channel. And so you'll want to join us for the interview with Andy. And then we'll be visiting another great guest ranch out in Wyoming. And then join us again next Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe, where we'll be joined by Mike and Doris Merritt, who will be doing the music for our cowboy church at the benefit ride. And great, great folks from Oklahoma, very talented musicians. And then we will also be joined by a young lady with the Equus Film Festival that's taking place in New York. So a great week of programming coming up. And we remind you that you can go back and listen to all of our shows in an archive podcast and tell your friends about Equestrian Legacy Radio. We hope that you'll join us and that your friends will as well. We want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle to get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net. And I promise that this is a song that you'll hear when you come and join us for the event. And we'll close the show out today with Michael Martin Murphy and his great song, Wildfire. Thanks for listening.
Came an early snow. It's been a hoot owl howling.